Morning. How is everybody? Good. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about recognizing Jesus. And I wondered, have you ever taken the time to stop and think about how we recognize others? We might recognize someone by their face. Growing up, I was told, I know exactly who you are. You've got to be Kerry Smith's daughter because you look just like him. Or how about someone's voice? Have you ever had a moment when you heard someone before you saw them and you instantly knew who was talking? One of my favorite things to do, and often something I get distracted by most often, is scrolling videos on social media. And I don't know if you've ever come across a video of a fussy baby, and then suddenly one of its parents speaks to it, and it just instantly calms them. That sense of peace that just washes over them as they realize, I'm okay because mommy or daddy is here with me. There are many ways that we can recognize someone, and I want to share a few facts that I found about recognizing others. How many faces do you think we see in a lifetime? If you had to guess, does anybody have a number that they think? Anderson, what do you think? 2,000,000. Yes, that is a good guess. It really is. According to this study, between 90,000 to 4.5 million faces. You're in there somewhere there, buddy. But that's a pretty big gap, and there's lots of factors for all that, and we won't go into all of that. But 90,000 to 4.5 million faces. How about how many people does the average person meet daily? Most of us remember the people we meet after the age of 5. That's when we can remember. And on average, we assume that we interact with at least one person daily, so that's 365 days a year. Then you've got some leap years in there. And then they've done some math. I don't do math. We let them do math. And they said about 27,000 people once we figure up all those numbers. And then how many people does the average person know? What do you think, if you had to guess? What do you think? 270. That's a good guess. That's more than most of your Facebook friends, I would say for many of you. The average person knows about 600 people. And then can you forget a face? Some people claim to never forget a face. A new study finds some people can remember faces of people they meet years ago, and even people that they only met in passing. They can recognize a face just by passing by. And this last one, really, really important. How long does it take an associate pastor of youth and children to recognize the faces of people in their congregation, put names with those faces? The answer is still being determined. In all seriousness, thank you, my cheering squad up here. In all seriousness, there is a distinction between seeing, meeting, recognizing, and remembering. And today we're going to be talking about recognizing Jesus. There's only one Jesus, but have any of us ever seen him face to face? No, but we are called as his followers to recognize him. In our text today, there are two believers who are leaving Jerusalem after Jesus' crucifixion, and they're headed to a village called Emmaus. They're in conversation about what has happened over the last several days. Jesus has been tried, he's been found guilty, he's been beaten, he's hung on the cross, and he died. And as far as they know, he's still dead. It's been 3 days, and they're distraught over the fact that Jesus, who they thought was coming to redeem Israel, had in their eyes failed because he was dead. So let's take a look at the text. You can open your Bibles. It's Luke chapter 24, and we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 35. So Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, and I believe we're going to have it up on the screen. Yes. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, had asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them, and when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned to Jerusalem at once. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. When Jesus joins these two men on the road, he begins a conversation with them just as if he was any other normal person that might have bumped into these two while they're walking on this road. He asks them, "What are they talking about?" And they respond by saying, "We're talking about Jesus of Nazareth." Not really believing that someone could have not heard the news of what had been going on the last several days. They then go on to explain how Jesus was crucified and that they had hoped that he was the Messiah, but it had been 3 days since he died. And not only has it been 3 days, but some women who went to his tomb this morning did not find his body. The women had a vision of angels who told them that Jesus was alive. Some of our friends even went to the tomb to see for themselves, but they did not find Jesus. Jesus immediately responds with what I think is frustration, because when he asks the men if they do not believe what Scripture says, he then goes on to explain what the prophets explained in Scripture and to try to prepare them for his coming, for his death, and ultimately his resurrection, which is happening right in front of their faces. Basically, Jesus is realizing that even though the prophets told of the coming Christ and people witnessed his death, still many people didn't understand what had just happened. Even though it was presented to them through the words of the prophets, many still missed the main idea. When I first read that, it made me stop and think for a minute. How many times have I missed recognizing Jesus because I don't spend enough time learning about him through Scripture? When I was in school and growing up every morning, my dad would fix my breakfast for me. But even better than preparing what some people would call the most important meal of the day, my dad provided me with something that would give me spiritual nourishment. Every morning when he fixed my breakfast, he would come downstairs and he would say, "You need to read your devotion and your Bible before you can watch TV." He was developing and instilling in me a routine to put God first at the beginning of every day. Scripture is important because it helps us to recognize Jesus. When those hard moments come in our lives that challenge us, it helps us to be able to have a verse memorized that can bring us encouragement and challenge us to keep going. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't tell you how many times I have repeated that to myself over and over and over again when I've been worried about something. Or how about when we're scared and we don't know where to turn? Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. Psalm 61:1. Or how about scripture that helps us to carry an attitude of praise throughout our whole day? My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Psalm 71:8. Scripture and being present in God's word is important because it helps us to recognize Jesus, to carry his spirit with us throughout our days. If you remember a few weeks back, we had a scripture passage that we read that focused on Jesus when he was at the table with his disciples. Jesus was sharing his last meal with them and he was trying to prepare them for what was to come. He had been walking, talking, and living in community with these men for the last 3 years, but still some were confused as to whether or not he truly was who he said he was. And even in the midst of their own brokenness and confusion, Jesus invited them to the table to commune with one another over the bread and the cup. In the text we just read from Luke, after Jesus had been engaging in conversation with these two men for a while, they still did not know who he was. He talked with them through scripture that the prophets had told, detailing who Jesus was and how he would present himself. Now, as they approached the village in which they intended to go, Jesus acted as if he was going further. Being late in the day and almost evening, the men invited Jesus to come and stay with them. This time, they invited Jesus to the table with them. And it was then as they gathered around the table and he broke the bread and gave thanks, their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus. I wonder, when was the last time we invited Jesus to our table, into our lives, to boldly ask him to be present with us as we take each step of our day? In order to recognize Jesus, I think we have to take time to stop and to ask him to join us where we are and where we're going. When we're looking for Jesus and take time to invite him into our lives, it is then that we're able to recognize him more easily. And then the final part of our scripture for today, they got up at once and returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told of what had happened on the way and how Jesus had recognized them, and then they recognized him when he broke the bread. I think it's important to point out that when Jesus met these two men on the road, they were going away from Jerusalem, away from everything that had just happened where Jesus was, away from the community that had gathered together, acknowledging that Jesus was who he said he was, and chose to still follow him. But then after recognizing Jesus, they turned around. They went back to where the others were who were like them. They rejoined the community of believers. And not only did they rejoin and get confirmation from other followers that he was indeed alive, they shared their story and they went out to tell others. We are called to be in community together, to help each other to recognize Jesus, to see when he is at work in our lives. Have you ever had someone point out something that has happened to you and say, I think I see God at work in this area of your life? I've been blessed with many wonderful counselors, mentors, and fellow Christians that have guided me on my own path of recognizing Jesus. Who might he be calling you to be in community with today so that you might help someone else see Jesus more clearly in their life? As I was preparing for this sermon this week, I couldn't help but get this quote out of my head. And sometimes that happens to me when I'm trying to process everything and get everything down on paper. And I wonder, how many of you know the name Fred Rogers? Raise your hand if you know that name, Fred Rogers, okay? To some of you, it might ring a bell if I say Mr. Rogers. Does that? Yes, the youth, it has clicked now. There we go. Mr. Rogers was a TV host, he was an author, he was a producer, he was a Presbyterian minister. But you probably know him best from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. This was an educational TV program for children, and it was geared towards preschoolers, so ages 2 to 5. But really, it's appropriate for all ages. And honestly, I think some adults could learn a thing or two from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but that's another story for another day. But Mr. Rogers promoted reading, learning, and so many wonderful things. But perhaps what he is most well known for was his calm spirit and the way he wanted everyone to treat each other with kindness. One of my favorite quotes comes from him, and it goes like this. When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." I love this quote for so many reasons, and it has helped me as I have seen many scary things happen in our world. But this week, I want to challenge you to do this. Look for Jesus. As you go about your daily routine, will you take just a few minutes to open your Bible and read about him? Will you take a few minutes to study this book that he has given to you and me as a resource for how to navigate this thing we call life? It really can help. And as you start each day on your way to work or school, or when you open your eyes each new morning, will you take a minute to invite him to walk the journey of the day with you? Will you invite him to be actively involved in your life and let him know that you choose him to join you each and every day? And as you're walking throughout your day and you meet someone new and someone that just comes in your path for whatever the reason, will you tell them about him? Will you tell them what he has done for you and why you want them to know him too? Oh, we have so many opportunities to recognize Jesus each and every day. We just have to open our eyes and look for them. Will you join me this week as we try to recognize Jesus? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, oh, how we long to see you. God, help us to open our eyes to your loving presence in our lives. We welcome you to walk with us each and every step of the way. God, we invite you to journey with us in this thing we call life. Guide and lead us as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.